outer obstacles, you know, things which are imposed onto your life by others. Maybe you don't have enough money, and so on, and or you are ill and your leg is hurting. These are outer obstacles, but and inner obstacles, maybe you have some character faults, you're weak in certain things like mind control or sense control and so on. But by chanting, these qualities are given to you, and then when you have these wonderful qualities in you, again, it's much easier for you to continue your chanting in all earnestness and sincerity. Now, I wanted to talk today on this one quality from which the other qualities can easily develop. It's forbearance or tolerance or patience in devotional service, mixed with a certain sadhana, which Rupa Goswami says. So we have to be tolerant and then do something which I will describe to you in a minute. It is said here, a devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, he should not say anything to others to retaliate. And the example of a tree is given. Even if you attack a tree and it is cut, it never protests, nor even if it is drying up and dying, does it ask anyone for water. It tolerates the external obstacles and difficulties, and is just patient. From this patience or tolerance, it doesn't go alone. It comes, as Rupa Goswami describes, by one quality, one practice, that you expect the mercy of Krishna. You're not just tolerating all this, but you count on the mercy of Krishna. Krishna will surely be merciful to me. Now, I will serve Krishna and expect his mercy, knowing it will come, either in a few days, in a few years, or even in lifetimes. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is expecting the Lord's mercy. There is this verse, Tatenu Kampam Shushumikshamanam, which describes how a devotee should be in this world. He should understand these difficult circumstances in my life are coming due to my own activities, which I have done either in the distant past or in the recent past. And he should know, while this is going on, these reactions are going on, he should continue to serve Krishna with body, mind, and heart, and expect the mercy. And Krishna, who sees this attitude in his devotee, that he tolerates the reactions of his own karma and is not protesting or turning against Krishna, and said, Krishna, why did you do this to me? I'm trying to serve you, and this is your answer to my sincere activities. Krishna becomes impressed by him and gives him his mercy either very soon or after some time when he thinks it's the appropriate amount of time. I have seen this in my own life. I have this thing that I'm very sensitive to pain. I mean, going to the dentist is really a major. I mean, I really have to prepare my mind for the pain which invariably does come at the dentist, because I'm a little oversensitive to pain. But what I have seen in life, the pain which comes also goes. It's a hip pain or lung pain or tooth aches and so on. They come due to their own laws, due to their own order or logic. It's a karmic logic. And by just tolerating this sincerely and continuing service as good as is possible under the circumstances, Krishna somehow becomes impressed and pleased. I have seen this very practically in my own life. Prabhupada, because I have read this and I have faith in this, that this understanding that whatever pain comes is not brought by others' fault, it's not their fault, it's not the fault of the environment, but I was in ignorance, in avidya, and I have done things, and now this is the reaction, but it is, I will only suffer in the mind and in the body a little. I am a soul, I am a part of Krishna. Let me continue with my service. And then Krishna, very quickly, this goes away. Prabhupada writes, gives a beautiful translation of the verse which I have quoted. He says, "My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy, constantly thinking, 'Oh Krishna, please give me your mercy. I do not deserve it, but I have no one else than you to turn.'" And a person who goes on suffering the results of his past misdeeds, offering you obeisances from the core of the heart, is surely eligible, that means qualified, to become liberated, for that has become his rightful claim. Now, you get liberated, free from all this. Prabhupada, writes in this part of Nectar of Devotion, where he comments on this verse, when impediments arise, the devotee should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. This should be like a sadhana. Oh, I'm disturbed now, this is an impediment. Oh, I'm ill now, this is an impediment. Oh, I'm misunderstood now, and this is an impediment. You say, Krishna, please give me your mercy. This kind of tolerance will bring you the mercy. You don't just suffer patiently, like, you know, in Russia I once was going, and I it was very cold outside, and some poor people were just sitting next to the train station and freezing in the corner and feeling misery, and you could see by the way they looked in their eyes, they had shut off their mind to tolerate this pain, you know, and just where they're sitting more or less as much as possible insensitive. They wanted to be insensitive to the pain, and they had shut down everything, their minds and their circulation, and they were just miserably suffering. No. A devotee thinks this has come to me, but he should expect the Lord's mercy. I want to tell you this quotation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There is a difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A non-devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is not interested in Krishna's mercy. He doesn't think of this. He sits there and just shuts down. That's his only way to survive. Shuts down, becomes as almost sedated, as you know, wie sagt man, so trübsinnig und so passiv. Eh? But the devotee is, "Oh Krishna, please show me your mercy." And that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. There's an example. So a devotee feels, can be tolerant, because he believes in Krishna's mercy. which he sees behind everything. He understands nothing moves outside of the direction of Krishna, not even a blade of grass. That is from the Bhagavatam. The sign of his humility is that he is feeling, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm now getting this, I have caused it. But no problem, Krishna, one day you will be merciful, you for sure. And he stays like this. The example of this tolerance or patience is Madhavendra Puri. Perhaps you have heard this many times, but I think this morning it is nice if we meditate a little about him. Madhavendra Puri had come to Vrindavan on his wanderings. He had completed a Govardhan Parikrama and now sat down at Govindakund, a beautiful place, a Leela Stan. He must have felt some hunger, but he did not ask. He felt this tolerance in his heart. Here it says, a devotee is like a tree, for even if one cuts a tree, it never protests, nor even if it is drying up and dying, does it ask anyone for water. So Madhavendra Puri was chanting and he was not asking anyone for water or for anything to eat. Thus a Vaishnava should not ask anything from anyone else. So he was thinking, Krishna will somehow take care of me. I don't need to worry. He was so devoted to Krishna. And we all know what happened then. A little boy came. He said, oh, Madhavendra Puri, I heard you are here. Oh, yes, I'm here, said Madhavendra Puri. You have not gone out to ask anyone for anything to eat. The boy said, the women here who wash their clothes in this kund have seen you and informed me. And I have to say, this is the village of Anyor, and no one here goes hungry. I will take care. I have brought some milk for you. You now drink this milk. It will nourish you sufficiently, and in the evening I will come and collect the pot from you. So Madhavendra Puri received the milk. Huh? He saw this as a sign of Krishna. What he did not know at that time is that Krishna had personally come disguised as a little boy. So he drank this milk, and as he drank the milk, more ecstatic symptoms came into him, and he, as the evening approached, he was anticipating, when will this boy come and collect his pot? Hopefully I will see him again. But the boy, as the boy who had brought the milk, did not come in the way Madhavendra Puri expected. It was sometimes in the morning. Lord Krishna appeared to him in his as a clear appearance, and said, "I'm the one here. I'm actually for a long time hidden under a bush. My priest had hidden me when the Muslim invaders came, and he was afraid that they would harm me, so I'm lying here, but I'm very, very hungry, and you please come and you take me out." And Madhavendra Puri did not really, he felt so ecstatic, he wanted to start immediately, but it was so dark, he didn't find his way, so he had to wait until the morning sun rose a little bit, and when there was a little light to see, he rushed to the village of Anyu and said, "People, wake up, people, wake up, I have the best news." And Vrijabhasis got up. "Yes, yes, what? Krishna is waiting for our worship. He has told me the place where we can find him. Come, bring your instruments, your shovels and pikes, and we will take him out." So they went to the place which was indicated by Madhavendra Puri in his dreamlike state, and they removed the earth, and whoop, they saw the hand of Krishna. You know, the hand with which he had hold the Govardhan hill. And then they dug some more, and they got out this beautiful deity of Krishna, and started their worship from there on. So I just wanted to tell you this as an analogy, how when you tolerate and expect the Lord's mercy, Krishna's mercy will come. Like Madhavendra Puri tolerated his hunger, did not think about this very much. And Krishna came and gave him surplus mercy. Srimad Bhagavatam says the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to his devotees, and he relishes to provide what they need. He relishes this. He likes it to take care of the devotees who expect his mercy, who make themselves dependent on him. It's a simple sadhana, a simple awareness to expect the mercy of Krishna. I wanted to tell you an example of this, which I like very much. I heard it from His Holiness Niranjana Maharaj in detail. I believe you have all heard this example, but this detail is so beautiful that I would like to explain this today to you. There was this great devotee. He was very pure and renounced. His name was Arjunacharya, and he wrote as one of his services, he was a pandit, a brahmana, he wrote comments to the Bhagavad Gita to make the words of Krishna more understandable for the common man, of common person. So once he came to this verse, Ananyas Chintayantumang, where Krishna explains, it comes in the 9th chapter of the Gita, I believe text 20 or 22, where Krishna explains that he carries to, he maintains what the devotees need, and he carries to the devotee also their needs. And the word is there, yoga kshema vahamyaham. Vahamyaham means I carry this to them. So Arjunacharya thought, what will people think when they read that Krishna becomes their order carrier? He carries what they need. People will maybe exploit Krishna. They will maybe see him like the waiter. Waiter means konoba. Konoba? Is it konoba? It is. You know, waiter, Kellner in Deutsch. You know, hey, come. And they will order Krishna like you order a Kellner. Manjari, do you know what is a waiter in the restaurant? And who comes? You know, you say, I want orange juice, and then you make, and then he comes running, you know. So when Arjunacharya read this verse where Krishna says, I carry what they need, then he thought, oh my God, this is terrible. People will exploit Krishna and go like, Krishna, give me what they need. And he could not tolerate this. He thought, this must be a mistake. The Lord, either the Lord this is a little mistake. We should write this differently. And he crossed with three big lines the word Vaham Yaham. I carry what they need. And he wrote Karomi. I arrange somehow that they get it. I send someone, I arrange that this is taken care of. So he changed a little bit. Not much, a little bit. So now you must know that Arjunacharya was very renounced. He had a very nice Vaishnavi wife, and they were so poor that between the two of them they had only one good cloth to cover themselves. It's almost as if between me and Sharanga we have only one dhoti, you know. When Sharanga goes out, he gets the dhoti, and he stays. When he stays home, I get the dhoti, you know. So between the two, they had only one presentable cloth in which they could present themselves. So Arjunacharya said to his wife, I need to go out now. No, he said like this, now noontime comes, please let us eat something. And the wife looked in the Vorratskammer, you know, the place where they keep the sabjis, and there was nothing in there. And she said, our supplies have run out. All said Arjunacharya, no problem. You give me the good cloth, the presentable cloth, and he somehow tied it. I will go begging and I will come back and bring some supplies for today. So he went out, and after some time, the wife heard a knocking at the door. But she had no cloth, presentable cloth. Must have had something on, but not really presentable for outsiders. She said, I'm sorry, I can't open the door. I'm not dressed in an appropriate way. I don't have the right appropriate cloth at the moment. My husband has it. She heard a voice. No, I just came to bring something. So carefully she went to the door, and she saw two boys. One was siam colored, blackish, like a rain cloud. The other was whitish. And they were carrying something. So the boys saw the wife looking, and the wife said, well, the boys, it's all right, you know. She opened the door, and something must have been on her person. And the boy just put down the basket, and she looked in the basket, and there were very wonderful supplies, you know, rice, ghee, sufficient ghee. Oh, ghee is the best for cooking. For healthy food, ghee, sabjis, grains, maybe dates, maybe some cinnamon powder, or cinnamon. There was everything was there which you needed for good healthy meals. And she said to her, oh, wonderful, who are you? The boy said, no, your husband knows me very well. And you have brought some to stay. My husband is just out with our presentable clothes, and he will come. I will cook now, and you stay, and then you eat with my husband. No. Thank you very much. I don't want to eat with him. He is very cruel. Cruel? He's very, very good character. Very good. No. He's so cruel. And with these words, the boy turned around. And when she looked, she saw there were these three scratches on the boy's back. You know, as if someone had taken a sharp instrument, like a writing tool, and just, you know, ripped on the back like this. You know, scratched the back. And she understood from what the boy had said, your husband is very cruel, that that was the action of her husband. She understood like this. She looked with amazement at this beautiful boy who had these wonderful curly locks of hair and these eyes which seemed to always move, you know, and which looked so full of mercy and full of grace. And then the boy suddenly disappeared, and the other also. She thought, my God, my husband must have done violence to this boy. She went quickly into her house, and in a confused state of mind, very confused, she cooked, offered to the home deity, and thought, no, my husband, I thought so good of my husband, but now maybe his real face has shown in front of this little boy. Maybe I had thought he was better than he actually is. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. She was confused. And she started to eat. When Arjunacharya came with the presentable clothes, dressed in the presentable clothes, he saw, oh, Devi, you're already, you eat? This is, there was nothing in the supply room, no? Wife didn't even talk to him. She didn't even look at him. Man was very confused. What is going on? That's not the behavior of my wife. She's a very, 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 very loving wife. And why? What has happened? And the wife said, you are very cruel. It just came out of him. What? You're very cruel. And then she told that the boy had come. He said Arjunacharya would know him. He had given all these supplies. But he didn't want to wait even until the boga was prepared and offered to. He just disappeared saying, your husband is too cruel. I don't want to sit with him again. Arjunacharya thought, how did this boy look? And when his wife described to him, he went like, oh no, oh no, oh why am I so faithless? The Lord has proven that he carries what the devotee needs. He has proven this with his own action, but I was so faithless, I didn't have any faith. He ran to the Gita and somehow tried to correct his so-called corrections. So I wanted to use this as an example. Both Madhavendra Puri and Arjunacharya and his good wife are examples for us as devotees which can install our faith that yes, when we are tolerant and patient and humbly going through life with tolerating what life gives to us, but expecting the Lord's mercy, being connected with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, and then the Lord will take care of us. We should be very interested in the Lord's mercy. We should not be so interested in our own attempts to try to solve the enigmatic situations in our life, the things we can't understand. See, the human being is always overwhelmed with circumstances outside of his control. The main thing in life, you have not controlled. Have you chosen that you will be born as the son of Mr. and Mrs. Klotz? Mr. and Mrs. Klotz are the parents of Ram Gopal. They have this very poetic name, Klotz. Have you chosen this? Will you choose the time of your death? No, it will come. Can you determine in this life the amount of happiness and distress? Prema Mayi, can you control this? No. It is not possible. These things are not under anyone's control. Have you chosen your wife or your husband? Have you chosen that you were maybe divorced from your wife and your husband? No, this is not. It just came in your life. It came with a logic which is too big for you to understand. And so on. What you can choose is to remain Krishna conscious and to ask the Lord for help. No? This is very, very important. Now the Lord, it is very important, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that for the Lord it is not a burden to carry for his devotees. You know, Arjunacharya thought when he crossed the lines, yoga kshemam vahamyam, I personally carry what my devotee needs. Arjunacharya had this wrong understanding. He thought, oh no, it's a burden for the Lord to do this. And he wanted to almost protect the Lord from being exploited by others. That was his, he was a very good feeling, very good heart, very good, very good man. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it is not a burden for the Lord to take care of his devotees. And he gives the example of a father who happily cares for his family. I know this is an ideal situation, but normally, in normal times, a father likes to take care of his children. Do you know that every children in Western Europe, every child costs the parents 150,000 euros? Hare Krishna. Mandakini, your little Aya will cost you, during the time when you have to take care of her, 18 years, all everything put together, 150,000 euros. It's, you never think of spending 150,000 euros, right? Because you don't have it. If we would ask Mandakini, who comes from Bosnia, she comes from Croatia, poor country, and went over Bosnia you have to pay 150,000 euros for Aya. You would still love the child. You wouldn't think, no problem. You know, I love the child. In fact, maybe sometimes a mother or father is even thinking, ah, no problem, I will get another child. Somehow or other, because I love the child, I will be, this is not a problem. But if someone would say to you, give me 150,000 euros, you would think, are you crazy? Because there's not the same amount of love which you have for a child. What I want to say with this example, I'm not expressing it very nicely, it is not a burden for parents to take care of their children. They love it. When they hear 150,000 euros, no problem, they say. Somehow it will. I love the child. No problem. No problem. He will have always something to eat, or she will have something to eat. In much the same way, Krishna feels towards his devotees. He likes to take care of them. He likes to, if they just would only turn to him and expect his mercy. Sometimes I think we don't expect the mercy of the Lord. We're just so atheistic, we Hare Krishnas. We don't even hear often about Krishna. It's Hare Krishna, something new. The devotee this is very important. He expects the mercy, and he counts on the mercy of the Lord. He has faith that the mercy will come. And the Lord is so moved by this that he feels very mercifully inclined to the Lord. There is a very nice little detail how a devotee can be so tolerant and so patient in the life of Parikshit Maharaj. I think you all know that Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die within 7 days by the son of Shomika Rishi. That boy's name was Sringi, and because I will briefly tell you. I think you, but just so that you remember. Shomaka Rishi had been meditating in his ashram when Parikshit Maharaj came by. Parikshit had gone all day without water. He was in the forest and he had visited the hermitage of Shomaka Rishi in the hopes of quenching his thirst. Now, when he entered the hermitage, he saw the saint in deep meditation, and because he was so thirsty, somehow he acted in a way which was strange for him. He was just so thirsty, had such a need, and the saint was meditating now, and Parikshit was so frustrated that he didn't pay him any attention. The saint didn't pay him any attention, that he took the end of his bow. He saw a dead snake and he lifted the dead snake and garlanded it. I knew this yesterday. Yesterday I was also in an extraordinary state of consciousness. It sometimes happens. I had sung a kirtan and I had totally forgotten my water situation in the body, and I felt so much the urge to visit a tree, you know, that I said to Sharanga, you have to save me. I'm exploding. I totally, since many hours, I forgot to follow the call of nature. And Sharanga drove very fast, like James Bond, but there was no parking place. And I said, I can't any longer. Please. And so Sharanga had to stop in the middle of the Autobahn, not on the Autobahn itself, on the thing. And I jumped out of the car and I did something which I usually do not do. I just jumped into a field, you know, like an orange flash, and disappeared in the field and, you know, and so on and so forth. These were extraordinary circumstances. So Parikshit was so thirsty that he also did something extraordinary. He wanted to wake up the saint, you know, and get his water and garlanded him. So when Sringi saw this, he was so hot-headed and passionate. He said this is a fault of the king, and he cursed him. He has done this to my father, now he must die. When Shomika Rishi woke up from his, or came out of his meditation, he heard from those who were standing nearby what had happened, that Parikshit had come, had been very disturbed that he didn't get water from him, and had tried to, you know, had put the snake around him, and then his son had seen it and cursed him. He felt very sorry. Oh no, there's such a devoted king. I mean, what is the harm? He behaved in an extraordinary way under some momentary, temporary pressure. No problem, you know, this is human. We all are like this in certain circumstances. And he was forgiving, but he thought, now this king will be killed by the curse of my immature boy. And he thought, the only way Parikshit can overcome this curse, if he uses his Vaishnava abilities and counter curse, my boy. That's the way how you can balance the thing. That's the energetic way to do something. Someone does something to you, some strength comes to you, you use your strength and push it back what came to you. You know, Parikshit could say, may I not be cursed by this foolish boy. And it but then his thought, tiraskrita vipralapa sapta kshipta hata api nasya tatpra tikovanti tatpakta prabhavo vapi. I said it wrong. Tiraskrita vipralapta sapta kshipta hata api nasya tat pratikuvanti tat bhakta prabhavopi. The devotees of the Lord are so tolerant that even though they are defamed, even though they are cheated and cursed and disturbed, neglected or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. They don't find this in their heart. They don't want to push against what is happening. Because remember, why are they like this, the Vaishnavas? Because they are not interested in material life, they are interested in the mercy of Krishna and in entering Krishna's kingdom. And that's why they tolerate all of this. They don't involve themselves in all of this material stuff. Someone has attacked me, now I counter-attack him. Like they say in Spain, revenge is a dish best served cold, you know. In other words, you take your revenge after some time and then, you know, wait some time and then you take your revenge. So this is what we have to develop a little bit. Not maybe, slowly we have to look in this way, that the Lord will surely show me his mercy. What I experience, the good and the bad, the happiness and the distress, is just my karma, but the Lord will surely give me his mercy. And by this thought, you will be able to chant the holy name in ecstasy. When you lose your power, your interest to improve your material situation, when you become tolerant like the tree, when you are becoming like the straw, you are no longer interested to beat the drum of your own name and fame and glory. You have arrived at a state in your life where you are humbly recognizing your own smallness before your Lord. No? At that time, your chanting will bear fruits. Kirtaniya Sadahari, you will chant always. But as long as you are involving in the world, writing emails, getting emails, no, defending yourselves. I mean, emails is a good thing, I want to say. Just engaging in quarrels and politics and justifying yourself and fighting and you know, working with so much effort improve your material situation, you won't be able to sit down peacefully and chant. It will not happen to you. But if you chant with these qualities, Trinada Pisunichina, the Lord will give you his mercy for sure. And the mercy which the Lord gives you is Kirtaniya Sadahari. You will always chant the holy name. It will not be difficult for you. You will always have the holy name ring in your heart. It will always carry you. You will always be purified. You will think of Krishna, chant his names, and just be a blissful Vaishnavi and not a mental case. That is very, very good. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his guru and he said, Hasayana chayamore karaye krandana etashuni guru hasi balila vachana. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, to laugh, and to cry. Wouldn't you like to dance, Gaurahari, and laugh and cry? Not for yourself. Oh, life is so tough. But chant and dance in ecstatic love of God. Wouldn't it be nice? Woo! Mr. Klotz, wouldn't it be nice? Very, very nice. Mukunda Gopal, very nice. I will not ask our Matajis because they have to digest this heavy lecture a little bit. But this would be so nice. And the only little prize for this is that you chant with this Trinadapi verse. This Trinadapi is not meaning passivity, or wie sagt man, it is a fatalistic approach to life, you know, that, oh no. No, you tolerate what comes due to your karma, and you expect the Lord's mercy. And the Lord will act. He came to Madhavendrapuri, he came to Arjunachari. He likes, as Vishwanachar Gavadi Thakur, to carry the burden of his devotees, to take care of his devotee, just like a father likes to take care of his child or mother. He likes this. But you have to knock at the door of the Lord. Prabhupada, there's a translation. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh, and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. So Prabhupada says in the purport, when the disciple makes progress, this gladdens the spiritual master, who then also smiles in ecstasy. Ha-ha, thinking, how successful my disciple has become. Ah, he thinks like this. My disciple has become successful. He chants and he dances, laughs, and he cries. Why is this so successful? Good. Very good. And then Ishvarapuri recited this verse. Chaitanya Charitamrita says it's a verse which is the essence of the Bhagavatam's instructions. And I request you that we will chant this verse again together. It's so nice. And then I will ask you a difficult question. Please, everyone. Evang vrata svapriya nama kirtya yata nuraga truta citta uccai hasat yato roditi roti gayati unmada vanrityati lokabaya. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed in this vow, in his vow, as an eternal servant of the Lord. And he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Krishna, Syam. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, or cries, or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. My dear devotees, this expecting the Lord's mercy while simultaneously practicing humility and forbearance, this is really the means, the sadhana in this age of Kali. Yeah? In the 64 Angas of devotional service, Rupa Goswami says this, and Prabhupada says this, expecting the Lord's mercy, that should be the guideline of all devotees. guideline. Oh, Krishna, please help. Please accept me. Please accept me. Even though I'm little, I'm not so good always. No, please, you accept me. This expecting this mercy. Now I have good news and a difficult question. The good news is we will enter now into what some Vaishnavas consider the most important celebration day, Radhastami. It is very important for sure, and because this appearance day of Srimati Radharani is very significant. She is the merciful nature of the Lord, the merciful aspect. She is the most merciful, Karunamayi Radhe, very, very merciful. And we approach Krishna through the mercy of Radharani. We might get stuck with Radharani. So that happens. The festival is very nicely already. I mean, the decoration is beyond all expectations. I heard that Vaijajanti, who was very often in Raj Mandal, Mandal Parikram, roaming around Vrindavan like a mad woman, searching, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? She has done this decoration. And I did not expect it so beautifully. I thought, well, it may be a little... Hopefully they don't do an überladene Dekoration. Überladen, someone has to translate this for you, Vajrayanti. It's a difficult German word. But it's so tasteful. Oof. And this has been arranged for the pleasure of Radharani and the devotees. And we have Madhavananda Prabhu. He will talk about a secret, which we all might have desire to know, the secret of Radharani's marriage, I have heard. I'm very interested in secrets. I will be there with my notepad and note everything down very carefully. There are, you can see here is already a stage where some wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna will most properly manifest. I really request you to go into this festival in a nice way. And my question is, please go there expecting the mercy of Radharani, but not in a demanding way. See, and here comes my question, what you can do to make this festival the best festival. This is my question to you. Think today what you can do, how you will go through the festival. Don't be passive, please. I'm thinking, oh, let me become entertained by Madhavananda and by the drama and by everything else. Please, you should see in this festival what you can do to capture the mercy of Radharani. What will you do? And I think if every one of us thinks a little bit about this for the coming hours, and then when we are ready for, I think we start at 4 o'clock, if I remember rightly, 4 o'clock, with a little ceremony, Adivas, we will all become surprised what happens. Oh no, 4 o'clock is, I think Madhavananda Prabhu is giving the class. Aha, we start with kirtan. Oh, very nice idea. To purify us, to make the nice atmosphere. So by that time, please know already how you can serve Radharani on this festival. I notice, for instance, you can do much better in the kirtan. We need a few more kirtans. It was really, you really need to create some good kirtan atmosphere. Maybe if some of you have kirtans, we had today in the morning kirtan. It was for some of you maybe the wake-up moment, and we had need of some more kirtan players. You can, in some way, and dance very nicely for Radharani's pleasure. Serve the devotees. You know, if every one of us keeps us a little bit in the mind, how can I serve the needs of the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who come here? We really want to create a community during this festival, a community of devotees who come together to serve Radharani on her appearance day and to beg for her mercy. That is what we want to create. And already our Vaijajanti, it's really so wonderful. I will put this in my Facebook. Hare Krishna. I'm joking. Krishna. Good. Let me summarize the lecture in two sentences. The Bengali verse, I like it very much. I was enthusiastic to practice Krishna consciousness and take to the chanting until I heard the Trinadavi verse. Yes, you heard the Trinadavi verse, be humbler than the straw in the street, be tolerant and so on. But you did not hear the other part. You did not read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. They're expecting the Lord's mercy. That's the main thing for us devotees. That's what we pray. Please accept me. And when the Lord is coming with His mercy to you, everything is possible. Toleration is also possible. Tolerance is possible. No problem. Then the Lord is merciful. When you have 1,000 euros, you can tolerate that the pain of having to spend 1 euro. You know, there's no problem. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'm so ignorant, but this says Sri Radhe, isn't it? What? Radha? Sri? Just Radha? No, but there's something over it, no? Sri. Sri, yes. Sri, very important. Sri Radha. Sri Radha. Everywhere. Sri Radha. Sri. Oh my God, it's scandalously late, but today no problem. Do you have any short question, really short? Go, Rahari.
In the beginning of the lecture, you were mentioning this difference between the devotee and the non-devotee. And the devotee expects all the time the mercy of the Lord. I just introspect a little bit, and I see in my life I'm not so much looking, praying,
yeah. Thank you very much. I want to repeat this question for the tapes or the recordings. I find myself in my life not paying enough attention to this. I'm not expecting or counting the mercy on the mercy of the Lord. What can I do? Now, I would like to again bring this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur to your attention. The difference between a devotee and a non-devotee: the non-devotee is not interested in Krishna's mercy. First of all, I think we must become interested in and think it's possible also And for that, I would really like to recommend you to read in the Nectar of Devotion. This is the only number I can remember in my life. Page 91. It's so important that even I can remember this. I forget. Tell me a number, and it's at the moment you say it, if I've forgotten it already, it's somehow my brain is very unsystematic. 91, in the English Nectar of Devotion. And there, this Prabhupada writes a little bit about it. I think you must first of all hear this, because Gaurahari, what I experience, what happens somehow in our movement, ISKCON movement, is that somehow we are not so much thinking of Krishna. We had this overarching realization. I believe Madhavananda Prabhu might still remember it. It was not the very last Govardhan retreat, but the retreat before, where everyone said, no one in ISKCON talks about Krishna, really. Did you remember that? First, Omala said it. Omala Mataji, then someone else said it, Purijan Prabhu said it, then I think you felt confident to also say it, and then I also said it. You know, no, we are not engaging with Krishna so much. Somehow, I don't know why. Well, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to analyze it, and so on. We talk about you're not the body and reincarnation and, you know, and don't do this, don't do this, don't do this a lot, you know, and so on. Somehow, something went wrong on the way to heaven. I can only say, you know, we in the Bhujan Prabhu and we in the Govardhan retreat, the team, you know, the few devotees who lecture on this and so on, we decided we will change this now. We are boldly going ahead and we talk about Krishna. Because this is about Krishna consciousness, this movement, so we have to talk about Krishna, so he comes in the consciousness. We are absolutely clear. We go ahead full time, responsibly according to Srila Prabhupada. So I think in the same way, this simple thing of a simple understanding of praying for the mercy of Krishna, although it's there in our Hare Krishna mantra, please accept me, somehow we don't do that. Don't ask me why we don't do it, but better do it, you know, do it. And to become convinced, Gaurahari, this, I'm not saying something, making an elephant out of a mosquito, we say in German, making a small point and making it a big point. This page 91, you know, as foolish as it sounds, Prabhupada is so crystal clear, so devotional, and it's a part of our, it's a sadhana, you know, this is what you do, and you think of, oh, Krishna. And the moment you really feel like this, Krishna is merciful, you will actually notice a lot of mercy around you. The moment you see, you tune in to this, you will actually see, wow, I got the Mahamata. Wow, the deities are there. Like when we were driving with our Radha Sharanagati car, our car is called Radha Sharanagati, our silver car. When we were driving in our silver car, we were shivering in ecstasy to go through the forest, and soon we will be in Golokada. Wow, it's the best project. It's really like in the forest of Vrindavan. We thought, what a mercy that Krishna gave us Golokada. We four of us shivered. We, of course, three of us are from the Balkan. That is means a little emotional. And I'm anyways always, I was thinking, what a mercy. And soon we will actually see the temple and see Radha Madan Mohan. You will see, the moment you tune yourself into mercy, you will see it everywhere. And then you will not be depressed any longer. See, if you want to describe this psychologically, which I know you don't like these psychological analysis of me, so I better don't do it. Isn't it all very simple? You just tune into the mercy of Krishna. You will see it's all around. With expecting, I don't think it is exactly like the English word expect. I expect that from you. If you don't fulfill my expectations, and so on. It's not like that. It's just understanding, oh, the Lord is very kind, you know, like that. You know, it's not in a demanding way. Like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna will surely give me his mercy, either now or tomorrow or in 1,000 lives. You know, he will surely give me his mercy. Like this understanding. And as we understand, as we have heard from the example from Krishna's own words, ananyas chintayantumang, I take care of my devotees. And as we have heard, he likes to do it. He's like a father. But we obviously don't go in a demanding way. I mean, that we know. Good. Banu Nadidi?
I have a question on tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
in relationships. I think here are two different concepts are brought together, and tolerance. Let us first look at tolerance, and then let us look at forgiving someone or not forgiving someone. The tolerance means here what comes your way is actually coming because of your own activities. And because we are Vaishnavas or Vaishnavis, we turn now to Krishna. When in our pain, we don't turn to the world and want to correct the world, but we turn to Krishna expecting his mercy. We understand, oh, this world is like it is, and I must have done something to cause that this comes. This is the understanding of Vaishnav tolerance. We turn, we understand, we take responsibility for what happens in our lives, and then we turn to Krishna. Now let us look at forgiving. That's something else. When we forgive someone, there are many seminars on this, and Sharanga Thakur has developed something on this. I understand forgiving also. What do we do when we forgive? You are shy? Yeah, when we forgive. We have to open the discussion on this. Many
forgiveness and practice and forgiveness.
There's forgiveness and practice. Can you enlighten us? Because
in forgiveness and practice, that means we are not on that level, but we do it. Like, I'm not on the level to rise up in the morning and to change, but I do it. And it's not natural. But by practicing, it comes to the stage where it's natural. So we have to go to the stage where we don't feel it's really solved and it's completely natural, but it's practice. It's part of the process. But no, I'm saying just a general
thing. The other thing, you have to come to my seminar, you're saying. Yes. No. Yeah, mini version. Oh, we will all come to you, but I have something to say. But I would like to, Madhavananda, you have risen your hand. Please do say.
I was thinking about her question. I don't agree with her question. That she's saying that if you neglect someone, then that's a symptom that you're not forgiving them. But that we were instructed by the Bhagavatam, Shri Taradinishu, Bhavisishu, Visarchicha, Prema Maitri Kupo Upeksha, Yakroti Samadhyama, the Madhyama Adhikari, if he sees someone who's envious, he should neglect them. But we should, that doesn't mean that we were necessarily not forgiving them. We should forgive them in our heart. But if someone is behaving in an envious way, we shouldn't interact with them. We should neglect them.
In other words, no need to. I wanted to say something similar. And I'm happy that you bring this. What you said. Did you understand the instruction for us on the middle stage? Is that when someone does something hurtful, then you should neglect them. It doesn't mean you bring out your gun, you know, you just make a distance. That's all right. You don't have to. That's a way to deal with this. And there are people who, due to some biochemical thing, are just not liking us, and then they say something which is not truthful or which is not appropriate, and then it's not that you need to now. You tolerate it. It happened, but it doesn't mean you have to now become the friend and embrace him. And that is not what tolerance asks of us. Tolerance asks. This is like the winter comes, and you neglect the winter in some ways by putting on your shoes. You go out of the cold, you know, so you make a distance to the envious things of others. I'm very sometimes shocked that devotees think, oh no, we have to, when someone is envious or hurtful, you do tolerate it, you don't retaliate by throwing now a counter curse, but you make your distance. You know, something in me is, the person doesn't like it, and now he has become very aggressive, you know. It's sometimes in your horoscope. I have this in my horoscope, that many people will criticize me for things I didn't do. That's in my horoscope. I have to tolerate it. I will not retaliate. I will not, it's all right. But I will also not now try to be super close to the people who criticize. That's all right. It's the horoscope. It happens, you know. I have to learn to tolerate. It's not. I have to live with this. Like someone lives with a thing that I can't sleep so well. You know, they have to live with it, tolerate it, but not Now about forgiving, we have to go to the seminar of Sharanga Thakur, and that's another thing. No, I'm not saying that Sharanga has very good points. I've learned very many things from our discussions. And I think for now, I think that's satisfying, because you were concerned, maybe I have now to be super good with that person. No. But don't retaliate. Be tolerant. Yes. Hare Krishna. There are two more questions. And what we can do is, you can come now to me, just now. And we can ask these questions. But I fear if everyone sits, then the whole preparations and the hunger and everything would be impolite. I will answer. Ich beantworte die individuell, prima Marie-Rate. Yeah? Is that okay for you? Good. I will answer it individually. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki, Gaur Prema Nandi, Adi 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 Bo.